start. And you know, today we've been looking at God's rebuke to the churches, and these are messages that He sent to the church, and this is sent by Jesus Himself. And one of the things about, you know, as we've been learning about the school of the Spirit, and we know that discipline is part of how God treats His children that He loves. Any son, anyone that He accepts as a son, He disciplines, and He takes them through chastening, which we have said that, you know, discipline is not sweet at the time, but then it yields a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by it. So anyone who has gone through the discipline of the Lord has the marks of righteousness and also has the marks of peace, you know. And this is something that you can see in Hebrews 12. And so when you see that over time, over the various processes that one has gone through, over trials, over testations, if we have learned the lesson of the trials, then what it works in us is righteousness and peace. Righteousness, not just even right standing, but also just the right thinking. You know, to know that this is the work of God. You know, like let's say you've trusted God for a child. In those processes, you are eventually broken until you get to the point where you are like, you know what? It's not my effort. If this is to happen, it will only happen by the works of God. And this is where righteousness is. And this is what the Bible says that Abraham discovered. Our father Abraham discovered that there is a righteousness that comes not of our works, not of flesh, not of our human capacity that anyone should boast, but it is the righteousness that is given as a gift, that it is not of, you know, of reward that it is earned, but it is given as a gift because it is of grace. It is God who chose us. It is God who loves us. It is God who is concerned for us. It is God who wills in us to obey Him. It is God who helps us to obey Him. It is God who sustains us in righteousness. And it is God who Himself gives us the seal of approval. And it is Him that declares that you and I that have believed in His name, that we are righteous. Now, on the basis of that foundation, then we are able to now bring works to God. The works are not to bring us, are not to make us saved, but the works are what we were created to do. The Bible says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So every good work that we do does not make us saved, but every good work we do is because we are saved. So the working is part of our nature of those that are born again. The good works is part of our nature. And the Bible says our good works follow after us. They follow after us into eternity. And that is something that we have to look forward to, that on the earth we might not receive our reward. You know, I was reading an article that someone shared yesterday, and it spoke to me that when you're getting on a plane, and let's say you're going to the UK and you go through maybe another town, that your bags meet your head. You know, you leave your luggage and you pack your luggage, and your luggage goes ahead, meets you at your destination. And it is the same way with God's blessing for His people, and God's reward is that the rewards, the good works of the righteous people, they follow them. So on earth you might fail to see what you're getting. You might not be at the same level as others, but there is an eternal reward that far outweighs them all. And I want to encourage us, let us keep on in the faith. And even in the rebuke of God, we see in the message to the churches, there's actually one church that was not rebuked. And this is a church that we call the Faithful Church. And this is a church that was in Philadelphia. And this today we're in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. You see, Christ always comes to check us. He comes to to search our hearts and to find if there is anything that is offensive in us, you know. And when he does that and he finds that we have been faithful, the exact reward of that is that he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And he commends us for the righteous things that we do. And this is something that you will find that anyone who did well, like Abraham, when he obeyed God, God said, now I know, Abraham, that you cannot withhold anything from me. So when we go through tests, when you go through trials, it's just like in every exam, there is always the examiner who is silent during the exam and is going to mark us. Now, as we graduate from one level of the school of the spirit to another, it needs us, by the grace of God, that we have passed. And when we have passed, we are commended and we are able to move on to the next level. And in every level, there are different tests, there are different requirements, there are different demands of the Spirit. But then God helps us in all of this. Now, the church in Philadelphia, and you know, Philadelphia actually means brotherly love. So it's interesting what is in a name. You know, at times we assume names are just random, but you think of Jacob. Jacob means supplanter or a deceiver. And you can see how much all his life he is deceiving and being deceived. But then when he comes for the blessing with God, he asks, God gives him a different name. When he asks for the blessing, God say that, your name is not, shall be Israel, and you know, and that becomes a change in his name. Now, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things are he who is holy, and he who is true, and he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And I said it's interesting that how Jesus introduces himself to every church. Now to the church in Philadelphia, you see they are faithful. Now he also introduces himself to them as I am also the faithful one. So now, how does he show them that he is faithful? One, he says he is holy and he is true. That means he is right. And because he is holy, he also makes us holy. Remember, the holiness and the righteousness that we have is the righteousness of God. And he is true. That means everything that he says is right and everything that he says is correct. And everything that he says, there is no lie in him. God does not lie. He is not a man to lie, not a son of man to change his mind. And he says he has the key of David. Now, he's trying to tell us that. Look at here. Look at David. See how I was faithful to him. Now, I'm telling you that I am that faithful God. And not only do I have the key of David? And ideally, what's really the key of David? The key of David is actually, I would say, is the covenant that God gave to David. But what was unique about David is that David was a man after God's own heart. And not only was he a man that desired to build the house of God, but also he followed after the heart of God. Yes, he failed. Yes, he made mistakes. But he was quick to repent, to come back to God, and David was a worshiper. David was a worshiper. And the key of David ideally for me speaks of even the worship, the spirit of worship. And he says, the key of David, that spirit that worships God, that honors God, that confesses its sin, that goes back to repentance, that is always after the heart of God. When God opens doors, no man can shut. And when he shuts, no man can open. And what does he say? He tells the church, I know your works. That means I see what you are doing for the gospel. I see what you are doing for God. And he says, see, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut it. God opens doors for us. What is a door? A door is access. A door represents, you know, it's like entry into a realm, entry into a level, into a new level. And he's telling them that, see, I am the one that opens doors. Maybe you're trusting God for breakthrough. Maybe you've been stuck in a certain level. And God is saying, engage the key of David. Engage the heart of David. Engage the worship of David. Engage the service of David. Engage that commitment and see me open doors to you that no man can shut. And he says, see, I have placed before you. That means when God has placed before us the open door, that means our job is just to walk into it. The blessing that we are looking forward to God or from God, God has already prepared it. And when God opens the door, our job is just to enter into it. It's just even like ministry. When God is about to shift you to another level, when he's about to enlarge you, he comes and opens the door. He comes and shows you a vision of the place that where he wants to take you. He tells Abraham, see the stars, you know, see the stars, see the heavens, see the open, and see, I have... Your children will be as many, your descendants, if you can count the stars. Now, God's ways are like that. Now, he says, see, I have placed before you an open door. And it's not only just a realm, it could even be a ministry. It could even be an utterance. It could even be a grace to do something, a grace of leadership, a grace of, you know, of resources. You know, it could be a new way of doing things that has not been seen, because God is saying he's always making everything new. He is making everything new. And he says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived, has not entered into the hearts of men, that God has prepared for those who he loves, for those he loves. And he says, and God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. That means that when what God reveals, he's basically saying that it is what he has already opened us into, and our job is to enter into it. So our job is really, even as we pray, is that God, show me. He says, call unto me and I will show you, and I will reveal unto you great and unsearchable things. What God has revealed is for our healing. What we see, what we behold of God, we receive it. We have the right to partake of it. Now it says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut it, for you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied by name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Look at their commendation. Their commendation is, because you have kept my command to persevere. That means that they were facing challenges from Jews. You see, it says from those Jews who claim to be Jews, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. I mean, yes, they thought they have the religion. They have the religion that God gave Abraham or Moses. But you see, that God had already made obsolete through bringing Christ. And he says, they are of the synagogue of Satan. They claim to be Jews, but are not. Yet you have persevered. And because you have persevered, though you have little strength. And you see, that's the beauty of God. He knows our strength. He knows where the trials are beyond us. He knows that which, where, you know, here, this guy has tried. And he says, I will strengthen you. And he says, because you have done that, I am going to keep you from the hour of trial. And this, for me, it actually speaks of how God will preserve his people from the hour of trial. What is that hour of trial? I believe is the great tribulation. And this for me, I believe, speaks of the rapture, that God is going to preserve his church from the hour of trial that is going to come over all those who dwell on the earth. Why? Because he shall take us to be with him in glory. And he says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Hold fast. Hold fast. Let no one take your crown. And he says, he who comes, overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God, of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Remember when you talked about the new Jerusalem, and we saw that the gates were written, were the 12 apostles, you know, and the pillars, you know, the pillars, and then the gates, and of which the names of the tribe of Israel are written, and the pillars. And God is saying, I will also make you, who is a lively stone, he who overcomes, I will make you a pillar in the city of my God, in the new Jerusalem that comes out of God. Remember, the new Jerusalem will be that union, will be that union, will be that marriage between Christ and the church represented on the earth, where we are in God and God is in us. And that will be the mystery of the age to come. And he says, he that overcomes, I will make him a pillar. God is telling the church in Philadelphia, you have been faithful. You have persevered. You have been faithful in trial. Even though you have little strength, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming. See, because of that, you have resisted the Jews. You have resisted the synagogue of Satan. I will open a door. I have opened a door before you that no one can shut. This is a church that just received the blessing of God. And I want us to just know that this blessing is for us. We that are staying faithful, we that are continually in that place of telling and depending on God's righteousness, depending on what God has done, depending on his strength to do the works, that he has created us in advance to do, for us who continue to live in the holiness and righteousness that God gives. He says that there are blessings for you. I open doors. I have opened the door. I'll keep you from trial. I will make you a pillar in my house, and never shall you leave. And in what in beyond that, I will write my name. I will write on him my new name. And God says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Can we be faithful like the faithful church? The church in Philadelphia, brotherly love. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwells in God. Let me stop there, and you're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Dr. Mormon. Thank you for the word.
Amen.
I see in the passage, God plead us. And you do in the key of David. It is an occupation that grants us. And I hope as Christians, when the door is open, we are ready to get the salvation. Because I think when the door is closed, that's when judgment is certain now. And Christians, it's a good reminder to make sure that door never shuts or closes behind us, in front, but rather be already into the city of David. And I see Christ, he's cognizant here of truth that we all have different British when it comes to faith.
Mm.
But use that strength that have to hold on.
Yeah.
You know, the trials and tribulations are going to come.
Mm.
Sometimes be and say, but am I faithful enough? Oh, am I faithful enough to, you know? But it's saying just don't look at a brother that is more mature than you, how they will act, how they behave. Just hold on to whatever you can.
Mm.
As long as you know, you don't give God. And he promises us eternity afterward.
Yeah.
It's a word of encouragement.
Yeah.
I see it giving us assurance, and is reminding us that there are good things, better things ahead, past the times of tribulation and trial.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible here, I think here does not say when, it does not say how long this will take,
mm-hmm.
but it's a moment that we often even live in our day-to-day lives as Christians, as, you know. But it's temporary, it comes and goes. So yes, thanks for that, and
Amen. 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 Thank you for that. Indeed, there is an hour of trial that will come upon all those who dwell on the earth. But remember, our citizenship is on heaven. Hallelujah. So God will preserve us. God will preserve us, and he has promised to preserve us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for encouragement, O God. Thank you that you are always seeing the faithfulness of your people. It is you that helps us to be faithful. And it is you that rewards us as well for the faithfulness that you even help us to keep. May your name be praised. I thank you for your people. Thank you for open doors today, O God. Thank you for open doors. Thank you for doors that are open. And Father, we thank you for even for the doors of Cox's Bazaar, for the doors of the city, for the doors of Bangladesh, for the doors of the East, for the doors of missions, for the doors of our relatives, their hearts, oh God, that they are open. Indeed, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. I thank you that the Lord of the harvest is bringing forth more laborers. Shanda de karabo do kokokosa di kabaya. Thank you indeed that, Lord, your children are being graduated from the one level to another, growing from one level of glory to another. We release grace. We release grace. We release grace, 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 grace for health, grace for wealth, grace for healing, grace for blessings, grace for insight and revelation, grace for wisdom. Oh God, that Lord, we shall experience newness of life and newness that comes from your spirit, oh God. May your hand be with us. Thank you for the service today, oh God. Your hand and presence, you've given us the victory, oh God. Thank you for ready hearts, oh God. Thank you for every part of the service, oh God. For communion, for the word, oh God. May it be a blessing, oh God. May the word come forth in power, oh God. May the worship be acceptable. May it be a blessing, oh God. Thank you for hearts that are ready. Thank you for everyone that received an invitation that they are coming, oh God. Remove every barrier, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.